the UK, broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Mic Drop Club, hosted by Douglas Hamandisha. Message received.
Message received.
You do not need to know what you need.
What you need.
Just engage with the podcast feed.
Just engage with the podcast feed.
Providing weekly insights into cool stuff we've read, saw, did, or heard about what made us say, wow, eureka, damn, nothing is off limits. If it motivates and inspires you to reach your goals, then it shall be discussed. Featuring guest interviews from high performers and people of influence, and weekly awards for the best mic drop moment. This podcast is guaranteed to leave you pumped up for the week ahead. Don't just live life, make life boom.
How you guys doing out there? It's Douglas Hamandisha with another episode of the Mic Drop Club. Today, it's Friday, third week in lockdown. That's if you're in the UK. Other countries are struggling to deal with the crisis. Some are in denial. Some are focused on misinformation. Others are being proactive and ensuring that the people are informed and they know exactly what to do in terms of self-isolating and also in terms of managing their mental health and keeping each and every other person safe in the whole process. So we want to start off this show by first of all saluting all the key workers. And the funny thing is now is key workers now has taken on a new dimension. In the sense of, if you go back 5 years ago, key workers were typically doctors, teachers, and nurses. That was the given. These are key workers. But now, your delivery guys are key workers. You know, infrastructure people are key workers. So anybody out there that's adding value, that's helping people through this pandemic, you know, we salute you. We drop the mic drops on you guys. So you guys are doing a fantastic job out there. But today, I wanted to talk about something that is deeply troubling for me and for a lot of people. This is something that's been bubbling under the surface. So I've been blessed. I've been honored to have a very close colleague of mine, somebody who I look up to greatly, somebody that who inspires me when I get down to keep putting out content that is meaningful, somebody that keeps me honest and always challenges my own values, somebody that can coach the hell out somebody that's uncoachable. We have the one and the only Kevin Dwyer on the line. So Kevin, how are you doing?
Absolutely wonderful, my friend. And you know, I feel in awe of such an introduction. Now, you know what? I've known you for a few years now, and I would go a step further. You're no longer a colleague. You're someone who I hold close to my heart. You're a close friend. So let's put the colleague business to one side. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good. Mic drops for that. Yeah, I'm doing good despite the limitations as a personality. My core personality is always be expansive. So when I'm trapped, not trapped, as I say, when we're doing this self-isolation thing, you know, yeah. It's an opportunity, I guess, to challenge how creative I can be within this space.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's me. The family is good. Baby's growing up well. Shaka the dog is doing his own thing. So if you guys hear the clattering in the background, that's how real we keep it. You know, people are not going to be hidden in basements or in attics to keep this show going. This is a family affair. I believe all the people that connect to the Mic Drop Club that subscribe to the philosophy that each one teach one, that subscribe to the philosophy that we need to pursue excellence within ourselves and demand it of ourselves first before we look out for it to other people, we really buy into that message and they understand this is life.
100%.
You know, so no, Kevin, you're the man, like I said, that I always think in the back of my mind that before I even put out any content, you know. And so as I was ruminating and trying to figure out, okay, where can we go in terms of supporting people through this outbreak? Okay. Uh-huh. Most media stories are focused on how do you restructure your affairs in the home? Like getting yourself into a new habit or routine.
Correct.
Focusing around your mental health, how to keep yourself mentally in tip-top shape. Okay. Mm-hmm. Managing your finances as well, and what sort of things the government and what mechanisms have the government put in place so that you can still live effectively, have food, clothing, and shelter on your back. But nobody is really talking about something that I think is very, very prevalent within mental health. Okay, it's an aspect of mental health, I think, as well, but it has a big impact and social impact on people, particularly now when you're restricted in your movements. And what I mean by that is now people are forced to be together in confined spaces for a longer period of time than what they used to. If you're not used to working from home, you too are going to be struggling with the transition, managing the transition of working from home and instructing the people. Yeah, you get that, yeah? And instructing your family to also get used to that, because there's one thing in you yourself saying, okay, I've set up my work desk and everything, I'm good to go. But your family still have their demands. So they also have to go through that learning curve of that mommy, daddy, they're actually working in that time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but throughout that transitional period, there is a heightened sense of stress. Yeah. Things are going to be bubbling in the surface within relationships anyway. But I would say that these things that are bubbling can come to the surface now, because now you can't go anywhere. We all know that Christmas, public holidays, are whereby there's a lot of stresses on relationships. A high prevalence of domestic violence will take place in those environments, okay? Because people have this pretense that they have to be together, particularly around Christmas. That's why you have a very high rate of divorces in January, because everybody kept it together for the Christmas period. Family members are gone, extended families are gone. Now you look at each other as a couple and thinking,
Back to reality.
But then, so what happens now in society when now you're all forced to be together? You're all forced to look at each other and reflect on your values, your principles, and all that kind of stuff. And when you're now in this environment, there's no escape, as it were. You know, it's very hard to figure out the escape. So I'm just going to give you some figures in terms of domestic violence, crime, and everything pre-coronavirus. So just to set the scene, so we know what we're grappling here with. Pre-coronavirus, this is UK, is as of March 2019, there was estimated 5.7% of adults, that's 2.4 million, experienced abuse in some part of the year, right?
Wow.
Yeah?
Wow.
2.4 million people. That doesn't deserve a mic drop. That deserves a plummet drop. I don't have a plummet drop. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Out of that, a large significant percentage are women who are experiencing domestic violence. And it's not typically from people external. Yeah? It's going to be from their partners.
Yep.
So now we're in a situation of effectively lockdown globally. There's a large percentage of people that are going to be living with an abusive partner.
Yep.
Okay. Also, the police recorded a total of 1.3 domestic-related incidents in crimes. Domestic-related incidences. Mm. So that could be, that's a very broad term. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's basically saying something that's happened in the home. That could be categorized as abuse.
Negative
and abuse. Yeah. And abuse, we know, can cover sexual abuse, physical abuse,
mental abuse,
spiritual abuse, right? Mm-hmm. All of these types of abuses can be taking place, okay, under that banner. But there's no figures yet, because we're in the pandemic of the coronavirus, to give us something to latch onto in terms of what's happening with people in their homes right now who are at risk. So a special shout out has to go out to social workers who are seeing this now increase. They're seeing this spike in their caseloads. Children living in the vulnerable environments whereby the respite was the father goes out to work. Or the mother goes out to work. Whichever way it was, it's no longer there. Children are living in an environment with people that can do them harm with limited ability to respond. So I think we have to be frank, we have to be honest, and we have to put out content whereby people can feel they can communicate about this. So I've talked a lot. Kevin, how are you taking this information, and what's your view on it?
I'm listening to this, Doug, and it's frightening in terms of the huge volume of people that go through this. But as you said, where the dynamic has now changed, no one is essentially able to escape the scenario, that's going to almost cause a pressure cooker effect. Because where, as you said, one partner may leave, whether it be the man or the woman, get out, and you've then got the opportunity for that distance, so things don't necessarily boil over as easily or as quickly, now you're in that pressure cooker. So the frustration of not being able to get away is actually going to cause things to boil over potentially a lot quicker.
Exactly. And also the period of reflection when you're in that mode, because there's only two or three things you can do in that environment. You know, you're forced to first take a look at your life. What did I exist for? What did I exist to become? You know, was I getting value at work? You're going through that personal journey yourself. On top of, as you said, you're restricted in terms of what you can do. And also, even moving forward, you're thinking to yourself, okay, what would the future post-coronavirus be anyway?
You know, so, well, the crazy thing is this. There are a lot of memes going around in jest saying that I've seen this woman at home and I've started to talk to her and she's actually quite nice. Like men in jest saying that they don't actually know their partners because they don't spend any time and they're now forced. But the reality of it is, in a lot of cases, that's true. You've got to the point where you're so ingrained in your routine that you no longer actually communicate effectively with the person that you spend your life with. Therefore, you either do one of two things. You either naturally grow together and gravitate towards each other, or you grow apart. And the unfortunate problem is, when you grow apart and you're now forced to spend this time with each other, you actually get the realization, it dawns on you. One, I don't really know this person anymore. And two, I'm not sure if I actually even like this person anymore.
That is brutally true. That is frighteningly true.
I think that is where things are going to start cropping up. People are going to start thinking these things through and start trying to understand, is this something I want? Is this my life? Do I want to continue down this road? And through frustration, if you're unaware of how to communicate, voice your feelings, that's where things boil over and that's where violence becomes prevalent. Because some people just don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to voice what their frustrations are. They don't know how to undo the challenges that they're going through. So these can potentially be some very frightening times if you haven't got a coping mechanism.
And exactly, the coping mechanism one is big. And I think this subject is such a meaty one to grab around with, domestic violence. As I said, each one has its own unique sets of characteristics. Each one affects the individual differently and on an individual basis as well. Okay.
100%.
But if we could put out some sort of hope, some sort of way of reaching out to people that are experiencing this abuse. Let's call it, coronavirus is not the reason why you're in a relationship that's abusive. The relationship was already abusive. All what's happening now is coronavirus has enabled or quickened the process of you experiencing the abuse.
The spotlight's been shone directly on you because there's no escape now.
There's no escape now. So if we're going to help build you up or anyone up that's been through that, in fact, anyone that's been on the outside looking in on somebody that's going through abuse, here's what we are subscribing you do help to help out somebody in that situation, okay? I think from an individual perspective, it's important that you address your big why. Your why is so, so important. The why in relation to, one, why are you in this relationship in the first place? That why is so, so important. Don't deal with the what. A lot of people are getting hung up with, you know, you know, this tick box exercise that a lot of people go through, where they go on dating websites, all that kind of stuff. I want somebody that earns X amount of money. I want somebody that has blah, 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 assets. I want blah, 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 blah. But the why, you know, the values, the principles, the goals, the beliefs are not so to the fore, okay? It's the what, that it's what the person is and does. That is the big driver. So now you're forced, as Kevin, you're rightfully saying, the spotlight is on you. Boof. Yeah. Your why now is standing up. Yeah. It's going to be put to the test, because every time you pass your partner in the hallway, in the bedroom, or any part of the home, alarm bells are going to be sent out. You're going to get a reminder that this person is or not complimenting your why.
Yeah.
So supporting people around that. And this is where books are the biggest help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereby I like the physical touch, the smell of books, you know, the whole aroma. I love that. I love that. I love that so much. But there's technology out there whereby you don't need to read a physical book. You can actually be read to, right?
Absolutely.
And read books about people that have overcome situations that you're in. And the good thing about books is no matter what you're experiencing as a human being, there's a book somewhere out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can support you through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It might be a waiting game. Yeah. In terms of finding the opportunity to read, you know, I'm not too sure, Kevin, what's your reading habits?
You know, I have books, I have physical books, but you know, you mentioned being read to. I'm not a promoter, so I'm not going. I'm not receiving any endorsement for this. But Audible is one of my best friends.
There you go.
Audible is one of my best friends, and I will go a step further to tell you that my car is my university. When I'm in my car, especially if I'm by myself, I rarely listen to music. I'll put an audiobook on.
Yeah.
Simply because that's a way of me making that time productive. We don't need all of our attention to drive. We can drive on autopilot. How often have you had someone in the car with you having a conversation, and you get to where you've gone and you're thinking, you know, I don't actually remember much of that journey.
Yeah.
You do it second nature.
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm by myself, that time, dead time. And I like to utilize my time as effectively as possible. So I am a lover of an audiobook.
Yeah.
Simply because I can take in that information whilst pottering along my journey.
Yeah.
Habits are to be read to. I love to be read to, Doug.
Yeah. And it's a cool thing that when you are going to work, you arrive somewhat more intelligent than how you were before you left the house.
Definitely.
There's always something that you can share, you know, around the coffee table, around your colleagues, a little gem, just drop it there, and they can feel like, wow. But you know you got it from an audio book prior.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's about, building. So when you're in the home, okay, and you're surrounded by in a toxic environment, yeah?
Yep.
In a non-productive, toxic environment, it might be a time thing. The good thing about the audio books as well is it's one of the things you can do discreetly. You know, I know people that have been in domestic violence relationships and their spouse has torn up their books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Their partners have torn up their reading materials for university.
Mm-hmm.
Their partners have destroyed everything of value to that person individually.
Control.
Yeah. This is about control. So when you have audiobooks now, that's something you can do so discreetly. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an app. It's on your phone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about content. What types of books are you reading, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because to build up your confidence, okay? Because to escape any violence, any abusive relationship, you got to have strength.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. And strength is the main component. However, with strength, you also need courage.
Yeah.
You need the courage to decide enough's enough and I need to make a change.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because
Go ahead. The floor is yours, Kevin.
In a lot of situations, what you're going to find is people go through abusive scenarios, and because that has become their norm, they may well even make excuses for their partner's behavior.
Yeah.
And take responsibility and take blame for why their partner behaves in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage to break the chains of normality, to create a new norm. Because in order to escape or to change what has become the norm, you need to grow. You need to grow as an individual. And the reason why that takes courage is because you don't grow in your comfort zone. You have to become even more uncomfortable in order to grow.
Yeah. You are going to be stretched. Your values are going to be stretched.
Values are going to be stretched. The person as an individual is going to be stretched. Now, if you're being abused, the abuser has a level of control, a level of power over you, which is why you're in that situation in the first place.
Yeah.
So you then have to really be able to understand, A, I need to be courageous to do this, but how do I find that inner strength that's going to allow me to stand up for myself? And standing up for myself may well have got me into a bad situation previously.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're bang on there. And if I could just go back in terms of the control element of it, you know, inside of us, there's a contradictory aspect to us with the ego taking place as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got this dualistic battle all the time in terms of your logic, what's the right thing to do in your life, and obviously what the ego wants in terms of, you know, it's very archaic. The ego is based upon your survival mechanisms, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. You know, which looks for a spouse, you know, to continue survival instincts. Yeah. So you've got all of these things that are at play. And also then you've got societal expectations of you, whereby they can look at your relationship and can see that it's abusive. But then when you're in it yourself, okay, you're making excuses for that abuse, okay? Because you're so determined to make it work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what I subscribe and what I do really, really encourage, okay, is to try and be more objective, you know, about things that you know are so devastating to you emotionally. You know, if people are not lifting you up, they're pushing you down. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one book I do recommend is Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Incredible book.
It's an incredible book. There's so many pearls of wisdom in this book, right? If you look at it from a business perspective, because that book is written from you running your business. So think of yourself as a business, okay? Every business out there has its own why it exists, okay? So why do you as an individual exist? Mm-hmm. Every business exists to solve a problem. Yeah, whether it's nutrition, whether it's transport, whether it's aviation, whether it's education, every business exists to solve a problem. So
solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Exactly. So you yourself, what sort of problem are you existing to solve anyway? Yeah, that can kind of help you. Then ask yourself, if you now are a business solving this big problem, okay, what will be your strap line? You know, would it be like, just do it? You know? Every second counts. Will be strength in numbers. What would be your strap line? Write it down. Yeah. Because sometimes people, as Kevin alluded to earlier, in terms of being a victim of abuse, they will prey on you because they see your weaknesses.
Absolutely. 100%.
You see what I mean? Because maybe your values and principles are not clearly defined. People don't know what your business stands for, what you stand for. You understand? Mm-hmm. Sometimes our belief systems, could also encourage, sometimes our cultural values, can actually encourage some of the abuse that we receive. You know, there's some, as I'm aging and I'm getting more gray, I can talk about this quite candidly. And some of the stuff that my father, my mom used to tell me when I was younger, tells of the music I was listening to. Yeah, you don't get it. You don't get the hip hop culture. You don't get the, you know, and I love my hip hop. And there's tons of, I got in hip hop for the positive messages. It's been diluted over the years to this misogynistic, sexist, you know, violent type thing, but not the hip hop that I was used to. But what I'm saying to is, take a listen to what you're feeding yourself in. What do you or your culture accept as the norm? Because there's some cultures that it's the norm for a man to chastise his wife.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's the norm in that culture. There's some norms in cultures where it's okay to do honor killings. You can you imagine? Yeah. In some cultures, they have a history of abusing women. In fact, the history of mankind is rooted in the abuse of women. You know, it go through most texts, you know, the first victim of a war is normally the women, you know? And you could tell how archaic, how civilized the combatants are. Because if they are new to societal norms, worldwide society norms, they wouldn't be going around after they conquer, taking women, raping women, abusing women.
Okay. Raping and pillaging.
Exactly. And I'm a strong believer, and I support all women's causes because, quite frankly, men have taken the piss for far too long in that regard, taking blatant liberties. So that being said, so once you start dealing with your why, I want to talk about very quickly, protective characteristics can sometimes be a limiter.
Yep.
In that. Go on, Kevin.
I want to dig into exactly where we are now, Doug. You're talking about your why. This is something I really amplify when I'm coaching a client. Your why will be your motivator that will get you through tough times. Because believe it or not, motivation will get up and run and leave you when times get tough. Yeah, you might be motivated to take action when you're happy and when things are easy. But in a lot of instances, when things get tough, motivation runs away and leaves you.
100%.
However, the thing that will allow you to remain motivated and give you the strength is your why.
Most definitely. Kevin, can you say it one more time? You're going to get what we call an atomic mic drop. Here we go.
Okay, guys, everybody ready?
Atomic mic drop.
That's not just a normal mic drop. That's an atomic mic drop.
Thank you, that is big.
That is big. So if you could break that down a bit more. Okay. You know?
The reason why your why will give you strength is because your why will generally tie into your core values and your beliefs. You mentioned why you exist, but more than why you exist, why are you on a certain path, a certain journey? Your why will tie directly into your goals and give you the strength to pursue even when times get challenging. So you need to define and understand in a short, succinct manner, what exactly is the ultimate reason why I'm doing this? And a lot of the time, someone will give you something vague. Well, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to be a great example to my children. I want to lead by example. And I say, you know what? That's great. And I appreciate that that's driving you. However, why is that important? And for me, to get to the root of your why, you have to keep asking yourself why. So every time you believe you've come up with your statement, if you can ask why to that statement, it's not clear enough. It's not specific enough.
Yeah.
You know that when you've got to your root cause, your real reason, you can no longer ask why.
Yeah.
You spoke about a strap line. Every business has a strap line. Well, they call me Mr. One Step, and I'll tell you why. Because my strap line is all can and will be achieved one step at a time.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
That's how it works. But as I said, with regards to your why, you really have to define that clearly.
Yeah.
When you've got clarity behind your why, that will help you stay strong, that will keep you guided and keep you focused. And then you'll understand that all decisions moving beyond that become very easy.
Yeah.
Because they either support your why or they detract from your reasoning behind your why. If it's something that doesn't support your why, you can then quite easily, or not necessarily quite easily, but quite clearly know that that's something you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
If it supports your why, you give that your strength and your energy.
Yeah, 100%. And this is something I do push very hard when I do the 140 rule coaching. It's all about defining that thing in a very clear, succinct way. I use the 140 character rule. You know, anything longer than that, it becomes wishy-washy and vague. You know, you want things to the point. You know, and so when I was talking about the protective, this complements what I was talking about, the protective characteristics. What I mean by that is this. When you sometimes look at your partner, you know, when you look at your why you're with your partner, at some point that person was chosen.
Yep.
Okay. At some point that person met certain tick boxes in your criteria. Some of them are based upon social norms. Some of them are based upon protective characteristics. Yeah. For example, if you were to say to yourself, I'm looking for, before you got into a relationship, I want a relationship with somebody. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you tell yourself, okay, that person has to come from the same village as I come from. Yeah. Have to be able to understand the same and pray to the same God I pray to. That person must not eat a certain type of food that I don't eat, blah, blah, blah. All of these things, right, which can be known and grouped as protective characteristics, are limiting your beliefs. They're limiting beliefs, and they're also then going to limit the pool of people that you can choose as your partner.
Yeah? Right.
And you can take that and extrapolate that to anything for gender. You can extrapolate that to race. Yeah, because even though we could say black on black, black, it means a lot of things, a lot of things. White means a lot of things. You understand? So what are we talking about here? Did you choose your person because, yes, they met all the things in terms of your cultural values that if you do not have the time to reflect on them, could be the things that actually hold you back anyway. Yeah, because culture evolves. Everything that we eat in your culture, everything you do in your culture, from the way you laugh, the way you pray, the way you bury your dead, the way you dress, all of that comes about from people bringing things into your culture because it wasn't there originally. It wasn't. You understand? Everything has to be brought in. Then it's looked on as, I'm not too sure about that. Then it's accepted by the group and blah, blah, blah. But all of these things limit you. You know, in terms of who you can choose. So if you made a decision and it was based upon your limited understanding of the world that you live in and a limited understanding of what culture can do and how your potential characteristics can actually limit the pool of people you choose, now is the time for you to read more open, more expansive books about what the world is about. You know, we're all on this one planet. All of us on this planet, yeah? And there was a saying that we are only different breeds. Oh, no, that's what. We're all just different beasts of the same species.
Yeah.
You get me,
yeah? Yeah, completely.
And that is frighteningly brutal, you know? No other species looks upon the human race as we look on each other in terms of what we do to each other. Yeah. So, yes, you might have got the partner that ticks all of these boxes in terms of street cred, in terms of social status, in terms of all of these things. But ultimately, as Kevin said, they don't address your why.
Mm.
You know, your why is so important.
And you see, another thing you touched on there, Doug, that really does confine the way someone thinks, the rich and belief system. This is huge, and we could probably have a whole episode just about belief system because, unfortunately, your belief system as an adult is created while you're a young child, generally between the ages of 2 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in that situation where you're vibrating at a slightly lower frequency. They call it theta. It's almost a hypnotic state. This is why children take things so literally.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in an environment where you're being governed by your parents, spend a lot of time at school, so your teachers, and any adult that's in your life that's of influence. And you know that great saying, children don't do what you say.
Yeah.
They do what they see.
Yeah.
Belief systems are given to the child based on what they observe around them. So their environment.
Yeah.
And as I said, a belief system is created in a child that represents how that child then turns out into an adult. So the belief system is given to you. So that's not even affecting your own belief system.
Yeah, it's imposed on that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's taken on board by your peers, your parents, your teachers. And this influences massively how you look upon things.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you see things to be normal or abnormal based on the people you had around you.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is why... This is why that when you are now choosing your partner, it's important. Like, again, we start with why, and the why is the basis for everything that exists anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's why we started there. So anyone thinking, I want the advice right now in terms of what I can do. This person's going to come home at 6 o'clock and or whatever, and I can't escape the abuse. First, let's deal with the why, because this is what's going to give you your strength to stand firm. Okay, when you are looking at your partner, yeah, you have to have three things, yeah? Every relationship that's successful has to have these three components and has these three components. That is complementary values. Mm-hmm. Complementary. I didn't say the same. Don't get this confused. Don't get this twisted. I said complementary, yeah? Mm-hmm. Just as salt, it has a different chemical composition and molecular composition to pepper. You do know salt and pepper complement each other in a dish, right?
There you go.
You do know. You understand? So I'm just talking about, first and foremost, the values that you have. Look at your partner. Do you have the same complementary values? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because if you do complement each other, you won't have problems in terms of raising children. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying to you? Then The principles that govern your life, either that's work ethic, yeah? Like, I have to get up in the morning and I got my rituals in terms of gym, in terms of eating nutritiously. I've got proven principles. I'm not chaotic. So if you've got complementary principles that govern your life, that's what you need. And also the one that people tend to over analyze and undervalue is complementary capabilities. Yeah. That does not mean that if you earn a million, he or she earns a million. That's not what it means by complementary capabilities. Capability is something that's inherent in you. It's your ability to potentially do something. Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you've got, if your capabilities are to be able to support the home whilst your spouse goes to work, that's a complementary capability. Mm-hmm. If you've got capabilities that you can read to your children while the other person is doing something else, that's a complementary capability. It's not the same capability. This is why when people get divorced and sometimes people look at the payout to the spouse thinking, how the hell did she or he deserve to get half? All they done was X. No, they look at the complementary capability. Could this person do X? Without that person's why input.
There you go.
So these three things you need to really take a look at. Values and principles, you know, and complementary capabilities. The one you have that, you probably find that the aesthetics, the beauty, all the physical parameters that the young are gravitate to, and I too was a sucker for that, you know, I gravitate to things, food and beauty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I find beauty in strange places. I find beauty in architecture. I find beauty in the human race. I find beauty. So that's what we gravitate to anyway. You understand? So please take a look at those three virtues because they will help you moving forward. Now, in terms of what can you do now when you're at home with somebody that's abusive, safety comes first. Yeah. You don't need to be broadcasting to the world that you're listening to some empowerment video or book, yeah? You need to be able to conceal these things, yeah? So you listen to things discreetly. You need energy for this. This is why your why is so important, because once you believe in your why, yeah, something magical is going to happen, and that is this. And I've seen it happen directly in the community for young, little 4 foot something woman who was going through a domestic violence issue with somebody that was 6 foot plus. I arrived on the scene. You know, there was yelling. And I could hear the yelling as I came up to the door with my social worker colleague. And to my surprise, this young, small woman had her back perfectly straight. And she was giving it verbally to the abuser, her partner for 16 years. Do you understand? Because in that moment, I realized there's nothing in creation that's more powerful than a changed mind. This woman had changed her mind. Yeah. And like I said, the mind is infinite in terms of its potential. So in that moment, when you find the strength to change your mind, you can do anything, you know, and you've taken back the power, and the person can see that you're taking back the power, and there's nothing that they can do about it. What tends to happen is when people try to relieve abusive relationships is they don't change. They don't. They've made an adjustment. Yeah. They've made an accommodating belief that they can either swing back on. I'm saying to you, nothing's more powerful than a change. Yeah. Not a momentary thing like, yeah, today, yeah, I'm going to dump him today. I'm going to dump her tomorrow. No. That is not what I'm talking about. A changed mind is more powerful. It's assertive. It's a true alignment with what Kevin talks about, your why. You understand? Because once you stay true to your why, there's no wiggle room for somebody that doesn't subscribe to those values, the beliefs, the principles, and the capabilities of your why. There's nothing they can do.
And to follow on to that, Dan, when you change your mind, you've actually made a definitive choice to choose something different. Mm-hmm. Where that will be powered is when you really had a strong look at the outcome.
Yeah.
What is the outcome you're searching for in this situation? Are the two of you aligned to be going along the same path? And if you've truly realized, based on your why and based on the outcome, we're no longer aligned, one of the things you have to then really consider is, how do I make this different? How can I make a change to the current situation? And in a lot of ways, you may actually have to be very creative about how you go about things, because you spoke about safety, and safety's got to be paramount in this current time where we're in an unprecedented situation and where you're stuck in, as I mentioned previously, the pressure cooker.
Yep.
You may find you might have to pacify your partner to ensure that you avoid further abuse in the current situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But while you take that kind of strategy, really be thinking about, what's the outcome I'm searching for here? How do I want to make my life different?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've spoken about knowledge by going to books, by reading, by taking on board further information. These are all things that will empower you, that will help give you the strength to make a change.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, you have to look at safety. And if pacifying your partner in the current climate is what you need to do, that's a short-term measure.
Do it. Do it. Because again, you might have been going through 5-10 years of abuse, you know, a few more months whereby you are strategizing, you're working out how you're going to survive moving forward. Because again, it's, you want to regain your strength. That takes time. It's not instantaneous thing, but it starts with basically a realignment of your why. The books are so important. And one book that is legendary, this book is so legendary. I'm not sure if it's an audio book, but it is the one, you know, and I've used it. Not because I've had a relationship that we broke down and, you know, seeing my children was a bit difficult. I just got to tell you the title. The title is this: Joint Custody with a Jerk. Yeah. this is so important because Kevin talked about safety. Yeah. And this book, Joint Custody with a Jerk, Raising a Child with an Uncooperative Ex. Yeah. By Julie A. Ross. This book is about probably 30 years old. And in it, it's all about you managing your relationship with your ex. You know, it talks about how you empower the children that are in that situation, You know, how do they defend themselves? How do they address some of the challenges and problems that they're going through? Okay. In that abuse. Yeah. This is what it deals with, because a lot of times as parents, we take over the battles on the behalf of the children, and the children have no tools to use themselves to keep themselves safe. Okay. So this book is all about then, like, first of all, it helps you identify, first of all, whose problem is it? If mommy says, if you're a father and you cannot see your child, and your child phones you and says to you, mommy says, I can't go and play in the park. There's some men out there who take that as, oh my God, I have to go around there and I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. Actually, you need to be thinking about what can your child do to understand why the mother has said you cannot go to the park. And that's just an example. That's just an example. And there are tons. So there's so many different examples that you can play. But it helps you identify, first and foremost, at which point is it your problem? At which point is it the child's problem? Because at the end of the day, that is the child's mother and that is the child's father. So it's about positioning. Then also, what tools do you have as a parent to, you talk about pacify, yeah? To pacify, because some language we use can trigger a response that's negative in the spouse, okay? So being able to structure your sentences in such a way, particularly when you're in close proximity, that you don't fan the flames, okay? This is about managing and containing. As the government's talking about, they're trying to contain the coronavirus. You need to be able to contain the situation that you're in up into a time whereby you can leave and go and live your life, okay? Because if you do not contain it, you're just going to be engulfed in it and nobody be able to come and help you. The one of the most painful things that you can do is support somebody on the phone and you can hear domestic violence in the background, yeah? But this is a time like no other way where you can't even go and intervene.
Yeah.
Yeah? You can't even go and intervene. They're stuck in there, that situation. Safety is the primary and always going to be the number one concern for the individual, the child, and the victim. Yeah?
Yeah. And Doug, you mentioned something with regards to triggers. Yeah. That is so, so, so powerful, so important. And as the abusee, you will know certain things you might do, say, or ways you might behave that will trigger a certain response from your partner.
Yeah.
And in these times, you really have to be very vigilant about your behavior.
Yeah.
So that you don't, as you said, fan the flames.
Yeah. 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 There's always this situation whereby people say, I didn't know that set them off. Deep down, you know it set them off, okay? But you're fighting, yeah? You're trying to defend yourself. And remember, when people stay long-term relationships with somebody that's abusive, they'd be making excuses for that person throughout the whole process. Mm-hmm. Oh, he or she just loves me, but then they throw a frying pan for oil in your direction. Oh, he or she loves me, but they're willing to fly kick you down the stairs. Oh, he or she loves me, but they're willing to take your bank card and destroy it or withdraw all your money out of it. Oh, he or she loves me. You'll be making so many different excuses. So no matter what they say or do, you're going to be defending them. But it comes a point in every person's journey where you have a life-defining moment that forces you to change the trajectory that you're on to a new one that could be unknown. But where you weigh up that the unknown is far better, far richer, far safer than what you currently know now. And that is about getting that person to that state. If you can get yourself to that state for your imagination, you're a blessed individual. You're a blessed individual.
I'll touch on that, Doug, because you mentioned about people making excuses. The way the human mind works is that every situation you're in, and this is probably going to sound very, very controversial, but whenever you're in a situation, there is something about that situation that is serving your mind, which is why you haven't yet decided to move forward, because you haven't become uncomfortable enough yet.
Yeah, yeah.
When you really break down the situation you're in and you get an understanding of, is this helping me move forward? You need to make that decision. Okay, now I need to grow. Now I need to do what's best for me. And I need to put myself first.
Yeah. Self-preservation is key.
And you know, that is something an abusee is not often used to doing, putting themselves first, because they are doing so much to contain, to please, to look for validation from their partner so that they don't get themselves into a negative situation.
Yeah.
So putting themselves first is probably quite foreign to that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is, somebody that abuses you on any of the domains we mentioned cannot have complementary values, principles, and capabilities to your own. Because if they do, they're not abusing you.
That's correct.
You're aligned. And I've been in situations in the car. I remember once in Streatham, very, very quickly. I know, Kevin, your time is short. Just spare me just 2 minutes. I remember being in traffic in Streatham High Street, and I was driving the car in front of me. I could see at the traffic lights, as I approached the traffic lights, that he was literally booting his partner in the car, kicking her down. So I got in my car and I went to the driver's side. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And to my dismay, the woman cussed me out. So it's all about you getting to that life-defining event, and which you all come, like I said to you, if you're blessed with imagination, this is where a book can take you, can fast forward time. If you read or get read to in audiobooks, a story, that enables you to fast forward your own experiences, because you'll be able to connect the dots in the quietness of the night and say, oh, do you know what? I don't have to wait for this life-defining event. I can see it because I've read it. This is how it's going to end. Therefore, I'm not waiting for the trilogy box set. I'm going out now. This is what it's about. So for those of you in that, communicate. Technology is like no other, okay? Reach out to people via forums. Find a forum that deals with domestic violence. There's so many numbers. I'll list everything in the show notes. But we're going to launch on the back of this show, a hashtag, which is Squeak Aloud, people. Squeak aloud. Anyone that has gone through or is going through some sort of domestic violence situation, I want you to squeak aloud. They say a squeaky wheel gets the grease. Yeah? If you don't squeak, no one's going to hear you. But I want you to be able to squeak aloud. Squeak aloud. Hashtag squeak aloud. We're going to connect with other key people to take this conversation further, because I can see that we are at the epicenter of something hidden that's going to engulf and it's going to explode. Yeah. Social services have already been speaking to me in terms of their caseloads going through the roof. Post-coronavirus, what's going to be happening in terms of what damage is going to have been caused because of lack of support for these people.
And I believe today we've only touched the surface.
Most definitely, most definitely. So Kevin, any closing words from you?
Be safe, be vigilant, and put yourself first. Being selfish always gets a bad rap, but selfish simply means putting yourself first. You have to ensure that you're strong before you can help others around you, and that's including your children. If you're a mother that's going through domestic abuse, make sure that you find the courage to strengthen yourself from within so you can then support those around you. And it's not only women that go through abuse, men go through abuse too. But as I said, we've only touched the surface, so I'd be happy to have a further conversation about this, because I believe there's so much more we need to talk about.
Well done, well done. Thanks a lot, Kevin. It's always been a blessing. Get part of the movement. Engage in the conversation. We're always keen to be expansive in this conversation. This is very, very important, guys. Squeak aloud. That's what it's all about, making noise. You know, speak the truth even if your voice shakes, Speak the truth even if your voice trembles, Because somebody is and will be listening to that, okay? Find strength, my people. We out.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out MikeDropClub.com and get the show notes and useful links. Subscribe to the podcast. Don't just live life. Make life boom.